Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one. Yeah, it's time to admit it. I'm a little bit jealous of Air Force pilots. Round number two. A Navy officer gets disciplined for acting like a Navy officer and thumbing his nose at the lowly enlisted vagabonds. Round number three. Love's in the air. I have unearthed a treasure trove of beautiful, beautiful letters from the front lines of a non-disclosed combat tour. It's not soft to get hard about your love, fellas. Round number four. An Army Staff Sergeant Captain was caught on tape bullying the shit out of a smaller fella. He went from neighborhood Captain America to Joe Bluth. I've made a huge mistake meme in an instant that involved over 2 million views on Twitter. He made a huge, huge mistake. And finally, round number five, the Macarena is a song about Jody. I had no idea until I saw an article today. We're going to talk about that. And round number five, all of which is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. We need you to be clean down there, fellas. If it's going to be some swimsuit season, ladies, you're going to be hopping in the bikini, the one piece. You might have a summer COVID bush just growing out of control. If it's bush growing out of control, you don't need a weed whacker, but you need a lawnmower. That's why they have the Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. It's the best trimmer to help you trim those hedges up. It features a cutting edge ceramic braid that reduces grooming accidents thanks to an advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. When you trim the hedges, the tree stands taller. It is amazing, right? Like the difference it makes when you're shaved versus not shaved. I walk in shaved, I feel like a fucking dynamo. I feel like Shaq. But then if the bushes grow back, I feel like Nate Robinson. Sad. Little fellow or big fellow.
Can I say something? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's the voice you're hearing is Kate.
Kate's back.
So, can the first thing I say be about Bush? Because, oh my God, I have never. Mm. I was like, I'll shave before the baby comes or something. Because people were like, oh my, like, I guess I won't get into it, but whatever. For the doctors and nurses' sake, I was like, I'll get taken care of before I give birth. I got busy. I didn't. Yeah. And now after the birth, I don't even want to look down there. I don't want to deal with it. So I've been just
like it's your bank account in college.
It's like a haunted house down there with the shrubbery all grown through it. It's like, I don't want to know. I go to like wash myself in the shower there. I'll say it. There's hair where I didn't know hair could grow. There's things.
It's on that note, I saw a woman, not her vagina, but I saw a woman who she was on TikTok. And she was wearing, you know, those metal cages that if you really fuck up your leg, like Alex Smith had to wear it whenever he tore his leg up for the Chiefs. She had one of those metal cages on. And so obviously she couldn't shave. She shaved her leg above the cage and she shaved her other leg. And she was sitting in there in shorts talking about it. Her one leg, easily the hairiest leg I have ever seen. I mean, even against like Andre the Giant, whoever, it was the hairiest leg. I wonder, do legs have the same thing? Like if you shave your beard and you never shave before, or I guess your vagina, if you do that, where it comes back thicker?
No. Because so starting in high school, when I would get my ankles taped for football, I remember I came into gym class one time and I had just my leg shaved up just past my ankle. And my friend, Sandra, she says, Connor, why is your leg shaved 6 inches or so? And I said, because I get my ankle tape. She's like, you should just trim the whole thing. So I took like hair clippers and would trim the whole thing. And I did that all the way through college. Mm-hmm. Still now to this day.
But that's different. Like, hair clippers different than razor, I think.
Yeah, actually, I never took a razor to them. So maybe that is the difference.
Well, I'll tell you, I look like a centaur right now. From the waist down, I'm just nothing but fur. It's good to be back, though. Hey.
Yeah, did you know we can't play music anymore, Kate?
I heard that. And so I was thinking, now we have to make our own songs all the time. And Cons and I are on it, probably.
We can just do a duet.
Yeah.
I want to get Frank the Tank just to sing our old song.
Yeah. That could work. You know what else I was thinking? Maybe different quotes from movies and TV and military. That could work if someone could splice something together. But I like Kate and I singing something.
I do too, okay. But we could also do like an American Idol type thing where we have, if any ZBT listeners out there know how to croon.
The best idea.
Submit a song.
Do a little cadence call.
Yeah.
Do a little cadence call. If you're out there and you can sing and you have some sort of talent, or you play the trombone or whatever it is you do.
Something, anything, any sort of musical instrument.
An actual bugle hitting like the reveille.
Ooh,
send us your music, whatever it is, and we'll put it on.
That'd be
even
awesome.
If it's a song about how my giant bush. We'll
and
put
what
it
do
on
you guys think?
Let's not do that.
Do you think we'll rotate through a bunch, or we'll just pick the winner we think is the best? What do you guys want to do?
It's really hard to say. I think we're going to have to follow the Barstool Confession motto and just see how the Lord leads.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Do that.
Truly.
When in doubt, trust the Lord.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Make sure you listen to Barstool Confessions if you haven't done that. It's been a fun podcast for me at Feidelberg. Let's get going with the show since Katie's here. All right, Kate. So you checking in off of leave, but you're just stopping by. You're not back full time. You still got baby stuff.
She left.
But I want to make
charger.
An announcement before we go. If you've probably seen it on Twitter or Instagram, if you follow me, this is Kyle's last show.
Yeah.
As our producer, Kyle got hired full time in another spot. So Woo-hoo. He's going to be moving on. Kyle, my friend, we're going to miss you, dude.
For real. I don't think anybody realizes how much Kyle did for this show. But it was a crazy amount, and it was all so good. So, yes.
Yeah, this really sucks. So,
but it's a great thing, though, that you got. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. I got some save rounds.
Okay.
We'll save. I don't want to get super sad at the beginning.
I'll say what I have to say about you till the end.
Okay. Kate, why don't you give us a little catch up about how your last 3-4 weeks have gone?
Yeah.
First of all, I have no sense of time. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know quite what day it was until yesterday. I was like, I think tomorrow's Thursday. If the guys are doing the show, I'll hop on it. You keep thinking it'll get easier. Like you'll get by week 4, it'll be a piece of cake. No, they just start eating more and pooping more and crying more. And it just gets more intense. And I was thinking about it. Having a baby is kind of like war. There's moments of calm and nothingness, but you can't do anything. It's not like you can go anywhere. You're outside the wire. You're stuck at your little outpost. And then all of a sudden, chaos. There's
a fart. I
thought you were going
to say because
they
use their diapers like wag bags.
That's true. They do. Yeah, we have a little burn pit on the patio that we have him throwing his little burn barrel.
Get out there and stir your shit, boot.
Yeah, get out there. But I will say, I sound like such a dork, but
Connor, I can't ignore this. The fact that you're drinking espresso from a little tiny cup.
Makes me
absolutely it's super
sick.
Distracting.
Continue with your story, Kate.
Nothing if not on brand.
This is true, and he's wearing like a little floral pastel shirt there with it was beautiful little white hat.
Anyway,
so is it everything that you have thought it would be, or is it very different?
It's the thing that I didn't expect was that the pain after in the weeks after giving birth was worse than the birth itself.
And I didn't know that was a thing.
It is. It has been like. I'll say it's been like almost nightmarish at times, like the pain that I've been in. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Is it like cramps or more physical parts of?
Oh, no. Well, since I talked about my taint so much, I'll tell you, I got tore up from the floor up, my friends.
Yay.
Second, hoping your taint would stay intact.
No, second and third degree all the
taint
way through,
tattered.
Pretty much. Yeah, I got fucked up, my friends. I got them out in only 5 pushes. That's probably why.
That's
pretty
extreme.
Paced yourself.
I know.
I really should have paced yourself.
Yeah. So so that has been a little bit rough. And then my nipples, dude. Oh my God.
What is that more from the feeding?
Yeah, it's bad, actually. He's really been going to town on him. He's like still isn't latching right or whatever. So my right nipple's like cracked in half, fellas.
I have a question.
And those products that they have that are straight up nipple products, we used to talk about it on Podfathers. Some of the most bizarre shit. It's like those little suction things that if you need to hold your shampoo bottle on the shower that you like put it on there, like that's essentially what you put over your nipples.
It's insane. I've tried every product on the books. You wouldn't believe how many wacky nipple products there are. I even bought these pure silver. They're called like silverettes that you put over. You put this like cream on them. You slap them on your nipples. And then I know some weirdo like PFC out there is getting all horned up listening to this.
Yeah, that's what breastfeeding does the most. Like,
is it kind of like when you get chafed if you go for a long run and it's hot out and you're rubbing against the shirt?
It's like you put put sea salt on your nipples and then you go boogie boarding for 10 days straight just on a surfboard made of cheese grater.
I know there's a difference between breast milk and formula. How do you decide which do you want to do?
Whenever my nipples hurt so much I cry, I give them the formula. And whenever they start to heal a little bit, I go back to the other way. And then they get ruined again, and then I give them the formula. So that's what I've been doing.
I can't wait till your baby's old enough where you can do that TikTok trend where it's like, drop them out, let me see them fish. And the toddler like comes like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, time to eat.
Yeah, so he's still not doing that yet. He's more pumped for the bottle. When I pull my tits out, he's like, oh, God, here we're slumming it today.
Again?
Like, oh, yeah, shit. But anyway, I will say, like, just he's getting more like awake time each day, which I call wonder time because he just stares into space but looks like he's in awe. But I fucking love the little guy, man. It's awesome.
Posted a video last night. It was pretty late. I don't know, somewhere around midnight thereabouts. And he looked wide awake. Not even like he was going to fall asleep at any moment.
Oh, yeah. We're fucking this up big time. Yeah. He sleeps all day and then he's up all night. And we're like, cool, hang out with us, man. We're like,
now, I know we'd be remiss if we didn't tell the people that Cons and I had to do a tiny little intervention because we were nervous that Kate has been consuming nothing but beets from a can, right?
I eat about 2 cans of beets a day. I can't stop.
Katie Shrewd.
That is the weirdest, most odd vegetable to eat.
Have you always liked beets?
No, dude. I used to hate beets. And now I get the crack open cans. And I just crack them open, dump them out. Bam. Little bit of salt, little dash of salt. I am eating beets, man.
Do you warm them up?
Sometimes I'll pop them in the micro for a minute, but they don't have to be. I like them cool. I like my beets.
Oh,
cool,
speaking
hot.
Of, put that frozen pizza or leftover pizza, put that bad boy in the air fryer. The air fryer is the best way to reheat pizza these days.
Yeah, that pizza has been there.
Don't mess with the oven.
That's the other thing. You go to heat up food or something, and then the baby wakes up, and next thing you know, you've had a piece of pizza cooking in the oven for 3 days. So it escalates quickly. I tell you what. But it's been good.
Pregnancy
been good.
And post-pregnancy brain, that goes for mothers and fathers. Like the things that happen, Annalise has like a memory like I've never seen before. She remembers everything. But there's like weeks that happen at the beginning of McCartney's life. I'll never know about what happened because you're just so tired that everything falls out of your brain. I don't even remember what it was like, really.
It's I used to look at maternity leave and a little part of me was like, that seems pretty sweet, dude. Mm-hmm. It just goes, you're not enjoying I mean, you're enjoying like holding the baby and stuff, but like there's no like downtime really. It's like 24/7. Dude,
revisit right before you had the baby and how you said, guys, I don't think I'll really need to really be out that long. Like, I don't think that's the big deal.
Yeah.
You say like 2 weeks and we're like, no, fuck no, Kate.
It's like I describe the feedings the same way I describe my labor pains. It's like a power hour that all of a sudden the minutes start going too fast and you're like, oh my God, wait, we just took a shot a second ago. Why are we taking another one already? Like that's him with eating now. Or I'm like, oh my God, you just, what? Oh my God. And my nipples are like, please stop.
He gives you that look and you're like, mother of God.
No, I know. I'm like, please.
He's got the Jaws music starts playing. He's like also, a shark.
I'll be in the shower and I'll hear him crying and like, but he's not. It's like, I'm hearing phantom crying. And then last night,
really losing it.
I finally fell asleep. And I wake up and I'm holding a pillow and I'm like, oh my God, I fell asleep with the baby. I fell asleep with the baby. And I've started clawing at the pillowcase going, oh my God, the blanket's over his face. I can't get it off. It was like horrifying. I started crying.
You're like Nightmare on Elm Street.
I realized it was a pillow and he was, it was like, it's getting to me, man, but it's
I used to have dreams that I would drop McCartney. Like whenever McCartney was a baby. Where I would be walking through a parking lot. And instead of those old dreams where, you know, somebody's chasing you, but you can't run and you can't move your legs hardly at all. It would be like, I'm walking through a parking lot and my arms just completely go out. And it's like, McCartney's on the way to the ground.
So anyway, it's a good time. Highly recommend having But it's totally worth it when they all snuggled up on you and you're huffing the top of their head like cocaine.
Oh, man.
Babies, they got the best smell going. The freshly shampooed
baby head is,
oh my God,
top tier smell.
Absolutely. That should be an air freshener, freshly shampooed baby head.
When they do a blowout, that's not exactly, that's not going to be other end of the spectrum. Yankee Candle smell anytime soon.
No, no. And it's crazy that baby farts are still human sounding. Like they're still like adult sized. Like, yeah, oh,
you think, oh, look, they're smiling. Check that out. They're smiling. Nope.
Taking a shit.
About to get the baby wipes ready. Do you have a warmer, a baby wipes warmer?
Erica Nardini got me the baby wipes warmer.
So clutch because they don't.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yep. And every time I forget to refill it and I accidentally use a cold one, he freaks out now. So I'm totally spoiled.
He's already spoiled.
Oh, yeah. He's like an officer already.
Yeah, he's already. Yeah. He's officer material. He's bougie.
When I'm wiping his ass with a warm one, he puts his pinky out. He's like, no, puts a little monocle on. He's like, yeah, my ball.
That's a great segue into our first round where we're going to talk a little bit about, and Kate is going to hop out as soon as she needs to. So if you hear a baby cry, then Kate is going to hop out, but we'll continue on with the show. If she disappears, it's because she had mom shit to do. Round number one. Flying a supersonic fighter jet can be a real rush, but it can also be a literal pain in the neck. That's because turning an aircraft traveling at hundreds of miles an hour cranks up the G-forces so that thousands of pounds of pressure pile onto the pilot's body, what leads to neck and back pain since the pilot still has to sit up straight and look around to fly the aircraft. To ease the pain, the Air Force contracted athletics trainers, strength coaches, and massage therapists to help pilots better prepare their bodies for the strain of G-force. It seems to be having effects, said one pilot. A lot of pain from flying is caused by the positions that we have to sit in. It leads to the body compensating and building muscles in places that aren't natural for the human body. Since I began seeing my trainer, I've had little to no pain over the last 3 months. These trainers at Nellis Air Force Base are one of the larger parts of the program for the Human Weapon System program, which has brought similar resources to all Air Force combat commands. And this one that they're doing, it's because they're losing out on, I heard that they're in the Air Force, they have a 2,000 pilot deficiency right now. Hmm. They're short on 2,000 pilots. That's a lot of pilots to be. I wouldn't have guessed that there was even 2,000. I would have thought that was about the number that the Air Force had, what it's about 2,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of planes. I mean, 2,000 is a lot.
So, like, where are they? That's a funny picture that Kate just sent in the group chat with a huge neck.
Does everybody know that wide neck guy?
Yeah.
His mugshot went viral because he has a super wide neck. Yeah. That's what they're trying to get all the pilots in the Air Force to look like.
Well, they said that these pilots, they interviewed a helicopter pilot, and he said that his helmet weighs anywhere from 15 to 17 pounds, depending on what's on it.
Wow.
If you're wearing that motherfucker for hours, that is heavy on your neck. Yeah. The longest I ever wore a Kevlar, because you would do it in training, you know, you would go out and do like, I would do bomb sweeps and do training. You wear it for like 2 hours or something like that, and then you would be able to take it off for a little bit. The very first time that I did like an actual combat mission, I had to keep my helmet was on for, I think it was like half a day, maybe close to a full day. When I took it off the next day, I legit thought I had been carrying a silverback gorilla on my neck. It was so painful.
And a Kevlar, what does a Kevlar weigh? I don't know.
I mean, maybe 5 pounds.
Yeah, it's nothing substantial, but it's enough that if you leave that on for any sort of extended period of time, it's obviously going to affect you.
Oh, in boot camp, I was such a little string bean bitch when I went in. I remember wearing it for like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, I'm getting a migraine. Oh, like it took getting used to. And that wasn't even the,
those are the old ones from Vietnam that are like thick as shit too.
Yeah.
The first time I got like a nice new one, that was a new model one that had like the gel inserts, I was like, oh my God, this is luxury life. Well, the Air Force, because they're losing all these spots, it would be tough, man. Like if you Air Force trained pilot, and Southwest or Delta comes calling and they're like, look, you can make six figures and more, like with overtime and all these different things. You can end up making a shit ton of money where you only fly 15 days a month. That's hard to pass up on.
Yeah.
So some of the Air Force commands are having people sign 5-10 year commitments where they'll go up to $500,000 as their like incentives to stay in a longer contract in order to do that. And now they're also adding in massage therapist, that each one of these squadrons, they're going to try to have a massage therapist or a physical trainer there. What do you guys think about that?
If I could go back in time and I was looking to snag myself a pilot, guess what? I'm becoming a masseuse and I'm getting stationed at Air Force Base.
Hamstrings.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to go. Sorry.
I told Annalise about this and she said, you know, they should go a step further, hire sex workers. Like if you're going to do massage therapists, make it end with a happy ending. Like you hire some sex workers, make sex working legal, hire like 3 or 4 of them per battalion.
Men
if you
and
run
women.
A 275 or above on your PFT, blowjob. You get an Army Commendation Medal or above, blowjob. You save a civilian from burning in a car, blowjob. Or clit job, whatever you need.
Exactly.
So you have
Thanks.
All these different sexual incentives so that people want to stay in and they'll want to work hard. I mean, if you tell somebody, look, you run a 275 on your PFT, you're getting that pee-pee sucked. A lot of people are going to be working out.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be staying in shape. I think two things. Number one, the fact that they're getting this many
Welcome
incentives,
back,
this many incentives and that level of money to stay in is pretty ridiculous when you consider that, I'll say it, our Air Force pilots don't really have too many threats out there that I'm aware of, really. There's nobody, you know, in other countries or other, you know, ISIS isn't firing on
Air Force. Are you trying to say they don't have any MiGs on their tail?
Wow.
I don't really think so. I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, they'll probably be my mention.
Well, there has been those reports recently, like in the Baltic Sea and sometimes off the coast of the Atlantic, where the Russians will have their fighter pilots going around different areas and going up against our like fuel tankers and stuff like that. You don't see them really fucking around with the F-16s or the F-18s or 15s, but they'll go up there and they'll mess with the fueler.
And so, don't get me started on goose season.
True.
Migrating. Mm-hmm. Then you're
True.
Zigzagging
that's
all over
the place.
That's
very dangerous. I didn't even consider the migration patterns of geese in the Northeast.
Captain Sully.
Wasn't that the Denver Nuggets plane that recently got taken down?
Yeah, somebody.
They had to stop because they got hit by a flock of geese.
It was
ridiculous. Front of that plane was fucked.
It doesn't make sense that a bird, any size bird, could do that to any sort of plane. It's a little ridiculous. But I guess when you're going that fast, maybe it's possible. The other thing I'm thinking, though, too, this actually makes a ton of sense to me because I think about
25 pounds. I mean, 25 pounds of dead weight goose.
Yeah, that's true.
Forget it.
You think back to like football in the 90s and even the 2000s and how people trained and how they practiced and what was
steroids.
Important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the science around recovery and all that. And you see what it is today. And you see just how much has evolved. It's not surprising that they're going to do the same thing, because as much as I don't want to give them credit, there is a toll that takes on your body when you're a pilot doing these types of maneuvers with this amount of G-force. So it just makes sense that they've adapted with the times and used the science to preserve their pilots physically longer.
And I don't say this to be insulting to you now, Cons. But you're absolutely the level of science that has improved as far as taking care of yourself from the mid 90s to now, even more so if you look back at like football in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Right now, we take you right now and put you in the NFL in 1955, you'll do fine.
Sure.
You're about the same size as everybody else.
Yep.
We take you, put you on the NFL field, you might get murdered.
I might end up like that dude who went toe to toe with Aaron Donald and just have my face ripped off.
Those guys, I love you, but Aaron Donald bared down on you 300 pounds and could bench press like 500. I tweeted this out yesterday. He has this picture of him flexing on Instagram. He legitimately looks like he has those Hawk toy hands.
Yes, it's unbelievable. Those mitts are just so huge. He's shredded. I don't understand what that guy was thinking going up against him, but it's unbelievable with the advances in science, medicine, and nutrition and physical therapy and everything. The people today are just
intimidating. Aaron Donald or that old defensive end that played for Baylor that used to wear the midriff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's a monster.
I think although that dude was much taller and I think
that guy's 6'9".
Yeah. And wearing the midriff with the abs popping, that's intimidating for a second. But then when you consider how fast Aaron Donald is, that is what makes Aaron Donald scarier, is his speed, because all of a sudden he's in your grill and you don't even know which end is up.
Well, that's what all the Air Force pilots are going to look like soon. And they're even going to have little midriff tops that they wear when
they
get on the plane.
That would be their uniforms.
Absolutely. So
that's what they got to improve. I would think if they improve the air conditioning, they got to get Apple Play in all of those planes. Mm-hmm. We had one fella, he used to send in pictures all the time of him going back and forth from San Diego to Japan, or maybe it was Hawaii, and he would fly his jet there and he would listen to Zero Block 30 in his helmet while he did that. I always thought that was so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about, you're just by yourself. I mean, maybe you have like an A driver or whatever the fuck they call it. You have like your A driver in the back seat just hanging out. That'd be, I mean, it's loud. That would be, sure. That would be terrible.
Absolutely. I mean, that's no different than if you got in your car right now, chaps, and drove from San Antonio to Dallas with no music, no podcast, nothing in your car. And you're just your thoughts. That's boring as hell.
Yeah.
And you're
at least driving straight. With the podcast, you have the ability to listen to something. And if you're working for a commercial airline, you might get some miso salmon if you're doing an international flight.
Mm-hmm. Right. That'd be nice.
These two, I would get so claustrophobic because you can't shift. You can't like adjust or anything, really. You're just kind of stuck in one position. I get stuck sitting in the recliner with the baby on me sometimes and my back starts to hurt a little bit. And I'm like, I got to get out of this position or I'm going to freak out. I'm like,
dude, those 10 minutes that we were in the NASCAR that you're just sitting there where it's very similar to a cockpit and you can't move. That shit's uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Another reference from the Barstool Confession podcast. Imagine being Ezekiel and having to lay on your right side for 390 days.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that could be tough. And all right, I'm going to say it one more time because apparently nobody is listening. Air Force, Navy, I know there's a pilot listening right now. We want to go for a ride.
Right?
I want to go for a ride in a jet.
Please.
I will say nice things about your branch if you take me up for a ride.
I'll let you hold my baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm coming up to New York and I cannot wait to hold your baby.
Please do. He's a treat.
I'm so excited because I'm fully vaccinated and I'm ready to go. All right, I'm also ready to go to round number two. This one has been making news for a little while. Finally, the Navy is acting. I guess finally. I don't even want to say finally. So here's the story. An officer at Yokosuka Naval Air Base is under investigation for writing a complaint to the base housing office about the deviant nature of enlisted sailors who pose a danger to his family. The letter, allegedly authored by Nathaniel Allison of the Naval Hospital Yokosuka, states that living in the housing department is in an apartment building for enlisted families is, quote, unacceptable. The message filled with spelling and grammatical errors. I love that Task and Purpose did that. You're an officer. Oh, you're so fancy, but you can't fucking write. The only thing that would have made it better is if they would have quoted him and put, I love it when somebody quotes something and puts like parentheses sick, where it's just an absolute grammatical own of somebody. anyways, the message was filled with grammatical errors, condemns the enlisted sailors as, quote, perverts, and accuses them of egregious behavior such as rape, involvement in drug cartels, and attacking each other with hatchets. Luckily, we got a hold of the entire letter. We have somebody to read it. Here's the letter in its entirety.
Good morning, housing professionals, comma. I just reached out to my commander about this huge issue trying to force me to live with enlisted. You will likely hear from them soon. Several officers just told us that there are two townhomes available right now where they live at Fort Avenue and Vandegrift and also Sakura Heights. My family and I have orders for 3 years here in Yokosuka and will likely be extended to 4 years as it happened to the last officers in my positions before me. I have many valid objections to living in a building of almost all enlisted and even many lower enlisted being an officer. I am prepared to pay for a hotel for my family and I until actual officer housing can be found for us. That's not right. I am even prepared to pay for my housing the whole tour if I have to. I have serious concerns for safety, comma, support and integrity. Safety. I have been an investigative officer and superior officer to many deviant enlisted sailors. There is a lot of crime, violent actions, drug use, and alcoholism that happens in enlisting housing. There are also sexual assaults, and other perverts. My God. I personally have had to deal with an enlisted child molester. Holy, what is happening? As I should have read this as my subordinate. I also had to deal with a man with man, drug, and alcohol-related problems. There are often drunken, often hostile sailors hanging around enlisted housing. Housing with enlisted greatly increases risk to family. I want to feel safe for my family every time I leave for work. This will greatly affect my mental state at work to always be worrying about my family. I have a good-looking family, a wife and two daughters, age of 3 and 4. They are prime targets to be victims for these enlisted deviant activities. My family should be safe in housing, and that is with officers. Officers are much more respectable, and these types of deviant activities are incredibly rare compared to deviant activities enlisting being commonplace. Safety has huge psychological impact on quality of life. This enlisting housing will increase the risk to my family and mentally cause my family and I to be worried and unhappy due to safety. Support. It is important when overseas to have support from your community. This is even more important with COVID. The almost entire enlisted building that was proposed in the back of Aikigo, isolated away from any support from me and my family. It's away from all other officers at my command that would support me. As an officer, I cannot fraternize with enlisted. My family and I will be isolated from the building that I am living in. We will not have to support that a normal officer family. My eyes are crying. I haven't blinked in fucking 4 minutes. This is the longest thing I've ever read. Where am I? We will not have the support that a normal officer family should have to succeed. Other officer families will not want to visit us because our family lives in enlisted housing. This proposed housing assignment is cutting of the support that my family needs during the overseas assignment with COVID. My children need to make friends with other office children. My wife needs to make friends with other officers' wives. I need to make friends with other officers. This proposed housing is isolating our family during vulnerable time when we are transitioning overseas and don't have any support. We need to be in an actual officer housing surrounded by other officer families so my family and I get actual support and not completely isolated and trapped by ourselves. This guy's needy. Integrity. As a naval officer, I have integrity. If I see the enlisted breaking the law or acting in an inappropriate way, I am required at all times to react and correct the problem or situation. Living with enlisted puts my family and myself in a compromising position. A few tours ago, an enlisted housing unit had two gangs attacking each other with hatchets and other weapons competing over drug turf. Hatchets? They still have hatchets around you? Is that like what you cut wood with? As an officer, if I see drug use or illegal activity in enlisted housing, I have to report it. This put me and my family at risk of retaliation because I will have to live right next to them with this purposed housing. I am not willing to compromise between integrity and safety and shouldn't have to. Officers shouldn't am not willing to compromise between integrity and safety, and I shouldn't have to. Officers shouldn't. I'm losing my space. Live in housing with almost all enlisted personnel. This doesn't even factor in the situation where I may have to demote or penalize enlisted personnel I work with and then come home where they also live right by me. This creates an awful living arrangement, and my family and I are many compromising. So that this guy is just... There's just gangs living next to him, and he's got to, like, report them?
Yeah, it's like the people working under him, it seems like.
I feel like this is bad.
Yeah, very bad.
My guy's down bad. Fucking hatchets and shit, and he's like, hey, guys, got to report you.
I don't want to turn them in. I just want
to live. Yeah, where are the other offices? Why is he in there?
Now, if he would have just stuck with perverts, I'd have been on board. Like, you
for
could
sure.
say... that enlisted sailors are perverts, they're horny, they're drunk, they're all these different things, and I would be like, yeah, yeah. Calling everybody rapist, come on, dude.
That's a little bit of a difficult blanket term to just
right.
paint everybody with that brush. That's a little ridiculous.
I mean, you're talking rape. That's some pretty... Drug cartels don't care about that. hitting each other with hatchets. That's fucking called training. Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Where did they get that?
That's
from?
Called hatchets. Saturday night in the band. Okay,
a
that's
of opportunity.
It's you join the military. So he get over it.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we had a hatchet problem in the Navy.
He definitely especially saw someone Japan. Attack someone with a hatchet. That's...
I would have thought Japan, it would have been more of an issue with samurai swords.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You get stationed in Japan, the first thing you do, you take your dumbass to AFI's, the on-base store, and you buy yourself a samurai sword. You have to. It's a rite of passage. You're like, yeah. I'm going to be here for 3 years, but I got to get a samurai sword within the first 3 minutes because nobody else is going to embarrass is going to have that.
No, yeah. I guess that's a big miss from my military career is that I was never anywhere that I could have samurai sword fights. Mm-hmm. Especially growing up on the Ninja Turtles.
And yeah. Also, sending a letter saying the enlisted are terrifying to you, isn't that just a letter saying the officers are not good at their jobs?
And I'm a big old bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
facto,
we can't keep our own enlisted in line, so I'm scared.
Yeah, take a look in the mirror with the leadership there, champ.
Yeah, geez.
The part that's super fucked up that people were going, housing with enlisted greatly increases the risk to my family. I have a good-looking family, a wife, two daughters, the ages 3 and 4. They are prime targets to be victims for these enlisted deviant activities. Like, if you think that lowly of the sailors in your command?
That's terrible. And I'm sorry, like, I have a good-looking family? That's a little bit of a bridge too far for me to just be, like, walking around.
This is fine for an officer that has an uggo fatty wife, but me, my wife.
His letter would have been more effective if he said, it will be dangerous for me to live in enlisted housing because my family has a mold allergy. You know, something like that. Because, you know, we don't like rodents might attack the children.
My children are allergic to gluten and they love fucking ramen in there. They eat so much bread. And
right,
it's
exactly.
Always in the air. I have a peanut allergy. They can't get enough of those payday bars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All kinds of things. But overall, talk shit. If you're an officer and you're in an officer's club and you talk about your enlisted troops as like being nasty and being deviant, I have zero problem with that at all. Because if you're a staff NCO and you're at a staff NCO club and you're out with other staff NCOs, you're sure as shit talking shit about your junior enlisted. If you're junior enlisted, you're sure as shit talking about the more junior enlisted. That's just the way it goes. There's a difference between talking shit and calling somebody a fucking rapist in an official email.
Yeah.
Like, that's wildly
That's just not nice, and as I said, a bridge too far. And here's a peek behind the curtain. While you all shit on me publicly on this podcast, I then go back to all my officer pals and talk about you guys.
When do we shit on you?
I'm sorry, what?
That's a little out of
hand. We give you constructive criticism.
Wow.
You little cut bitch.
That's a fun way to phrase it.
Ugly dick.
When Chaps gets up here, we're having a hatchet fight. Start working out.
We should start selling ZBT hatchets.
I'm in. Wait,
we're enlisted only.
Time out.
I tried to get knives before. And
I said
we can't have any. You can't have deadly weapons in the store. That was a firm, hard rule by Eric.
I got to tell you, a ZBT K-bar would probably be pretty cool.
Yeah. But the moment somebody murders somebody else with that, that's not
what
exactly
was the headline
weapon?
We
wanted.
Here comes another hit piece.
That was a K-Bar sponsored by Barstool Sports. Ooh.
Well, we got to think ahead there. If we are going to sell them and it is going to be used in the conducting of a crime, on the blade, we have to put a QR code. So when people see it in like a trial on TV, they can scan it and it'll go to our podcast.
Right.
That's how
subscribe.
We get around it. Yeah.
It's the link to subscribe to YouTube.
Automatically subscribe. All right, let's move on to round number 3. This one's going to take me a second because it is actually an erotic love letter that I found that's from a war that I don't know what war it actually is from, but I'm going to send it to Cons right now. I didn't want him to see it before so he could critique it and all that. So we're going to have a little erotic love letter reading by Cons. I just sent it to you. Let me know when you got it, Cons.
While Cons is looking for it, my first deployment to Afghanistan, we had a French magazine because sometimes journalists would get embedded with us. And it was these journalists from a French magazine with it was the one journalist and a photographer. And they were like, do you mind? My partner at the time, I was engaged at the time. We would send each other letters all the time. And sometimes I would send some like That's,
I like how you beat around the bush. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. You're like, yeah. We would send some, like, I don't know if I really want sex stuff.
But basically, it like looked like I was so, I'm sitting in the corner of the tent one day and they're like, do you mind if we take pictures of you writing letters home or whatever? And I was like, sure, go ahead. So the photographer is like over my shoulder taking pictures and I'm like, ah, oh, they're French, whatever. They're not going to, whatever. But it was part of the letter was like, I'm going to blow you like you wouldn't believe. Like it was like, I was being sassy in it. And then afterwards it hit me. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be in a magazine somewhere. And maybe they do speak English pretty well a lot of times. And I'm going to look like a total psycho. Anyway, Cons, did you find the letter yet? Mm-hmm. Also, there was a stick figure of me getting wheel barreled.
Oh, yeah, you told that before. The right, yeah. Stick figure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, Cons.
You were the artist recruit for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead, Cons.
What do I want to do to you?
No, come on, Cons.
So wait. What's the context of this? It's from a war. That's all you know.
Yeah,
I don't believe
this
Chap said it's from, no,
podcast,
I don't believe
Kate.
That at all.
We're talking about war of yesteryear and how people on the front lines love.
No, I don't believe that this is from any war. I believe this is probably from another source that has nothing to do with war.
Are you accusing Chaps of writing this himself?
Why would you accuse
him
being
yes,
an integrity
classic
violator?
Officer and accusing an enlisted of something?
Yeah, no might as well just call evidence. Me a rapist and a hatchet.
Deviant
user.
Pervert.
All right, let's hear it, Cons.
All right, what do I want to do to you? There are many things I can think of, my dearest darling love. I want to bring you home and cook a meal for you. That's nice. A meal fit for your queenly splendor. I might work queenly splendor into my daily life. I want to hold you close and watch a movie with you, all wrapped up in your favorite blanket and your favorite seat. I wonder what movie he wants to watch.
The Guardian. Probably
The Guardian. I want to gaze deeply into your precious, shining eyes, so full of joy and mirth in this moment. Mirth. There's a word you don't really hear ever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wrap my arms around you and pull you close to me. I want to kiss you soft and slow, our lips barely grazing each other at first, then harder, closer, deeper. I want to run my hands through your hair and down your back as our tongues intertwine, pushing you onto your back as passion blazes through us both, your hands finding their way around my shoulders. I want to pull up your shirt. This goes on for a while, by the way.
Let's keep it going. It's very important. This is history.
Oh my God, is this history? I want to pull off your shirt and kiss down your neck, nipping and biting here and there, my hot breath and soft lips setting an electric blaze. I want to...
Kate took her headphones off. She can't even listen to it.
Oh, my Christ. Oh, no. I want to kiss your breasts, every last inch of them, holding your sides as you softly moan my name. I want to take your nipples in my... mouth and my hands gently rubbing and nimbling, pinching and biting, passion rushing as I make you scream in pleasure. This is uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. My parents listen to this show. This is very, this is like
just
when you're
more,
watching.
Just a little more.
No,
so
this is like when you're sitting.
I don't think
just
we've gotten
reading.
The essence.
Listen,
more
I'm just saying, this is like when you're sitting on the couch watching a movie with your parents and you don't realize there's an inappropriate scene coming and you're like 16 years old and then all of a sudden you're red faced like I am now.
Wait,
I recognize this letter. Is this an Abe Lincoln?
Go ahead, Cons.
Oh man. I can't do it.
No, come on.
Come on. I gotta know how it ends.
I can't do it. And then they live happily ever after.
So the next line I wanted Cons to say is, I want to make you come then. I want to pour my heart into your chest. I want to breathe life in as I seemingly suck it out, and then I'll continue.
Yep.
That's
right.
A love letter from World War, or from some war. It's from,
yeah, I bet. Yeah, so. World War II. They were talking about going home and watching movies in the comfort of their own home because that was all prevalent back then.
Yep.
You're ridiculous.
No, you're ridiculous. That was you're good. I'm glad that we have a little bit of history there. All right, let's move on to round number four. This news took over.
What the hell was that?
That was Chaps. That was Chaps being Chaps.
What do you mean?
Let's call a spade a spade. That was Chaps being Chaps.
That was a nice moment that we had.
Found that on Reddit, I think, right? I saw the same letter on Reddit.
Yeah, bet you did, Kyle.
Wasn't it on Reddit?
Bet you did, Panama Red.
Oh. All right, next up, we have some news that really took over the entire internet, really. I mean, mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the military communities.
Everywhere. And this is going to be brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. I've been using Simply Safe at my new house, and it's awesome. Which part of your house feels a little less secure than you might want? Maybe it's your first floor windows, maybe a French door. For me, it used to be my garage. But I'll never have to worry about that now because of my Simply Safe security system. Now there's no time, day or night, where I have to worry because I know my house is always being guarded. Even if you already feel safe, that might not be true of everyone in your home. If you've never had a conversation about it, it's honestly not a bad idea to do. It just feels really good to be able to press the home button on my Simply Safe keypad and hear the base system say, alarm on. And now if anyone did try to come in, the alarm would go off. And the thing is, Simply Safe just makes it so easy. It makes about 2 minutes to customize your system on their website, simplysafe.com/ZBT. The system arrives in 7 days and you take it 30 minutes to step up. I've done it myself. It's easy. Go to simplysafe.com/ZBT today to customize your system and you'll get a free security camera. You'll get a free 60-day trial too, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. So this story took over the internet, and on Thursday, a social media site, it showed up. Protesters ended up at a house of a dude who works in the Army. He's an Army Staff Sergeant Captain. That's what Newsweek said. They put his rank as Staff Sergeant Captain Jonathan Pentland, whose social media account showed Pentland has been stationed as a drill sergeant at Fort Jackson since 2019, according to the Associated Press. According to multiple reports, Pentland had been arrested and charged with third-degree assault. There's a three-minute video, which I'm sure most of you have probably seen already. It was shared 17,000 times on Facebook, and it's been seen over 2 million times on Twitter. Johnson, he identified the man as DeAndre, who is also getting investigated and getting some help because they say that he has a medical condition. But this story, it just fucking sucks, man. Like,
I've been in La La Land. What are we talking about here?
It's pretty straightforward. Go ahead, Chaps.
Yeah, there's this dude that's a sergeant first class now, I believe, actually. He's either staff sergeant or sergeant first class. And there's a young black man outside of his home. And he essentially berates the man like he is a private at boot camp. And starts going off on him, like saying, you don't belong in this neighborhood. You don't belong here. What are you doing here? You need to leave. You either leave or I'm going to make you leave. He pushes him at one point, says, don't talk to my wife. That's my wife. Don't talk. Very much a very typical, super motivated staff NCO. I am better than you. I'm going to berate you out here in front of God of everybody. This dude has like the personality where you know he went inside after this and was just super proud of himself.
Yeah.
Had a boner.
Oh, I'm right. So tough.
Yeah.
Oh God. But it was captured on video. And so now he's getting roasted.
Yeah, and it was actually posted by members of his family, I believe. It was his family that posted it, thinking, I guess, somehow that it would make him look good. Mm-hmm. There's an investigation originally that said that they were investigating the sergeant first class for assault, third degree assault, and they said they didn't have enough. But now that the video's out there, they do have it enough because he does push the guy, and you could see it. The commanding general of the base where he's assigned also went on social media and said this goes against our values. He's being investigated, and we've actually turned it over to the Department of Justice, which to me sounds like that's like hate crime. Like if, because simple assault, third degree assault does not go to the Department of Justice.
No,
that's not a federal crime.
No, not at all. And here I should also add, he made it seem like it was some sort of private community. I don't think that that's necessarily true, but regardless, it doesn't matter. The kid was, or the guy, the gentleman, I from the video, just like he was walking through, like, and he said he was going home to his house. So there was no reason to approach him for any reason. It's not like it said he had done something to provoke this guy. Regardless, it doesn't matter. He shouldn't have done that anyway.
Yeah. I just can't imagine going out and scream. And one thing that always bothers me is when you have folks like this who completely try to emasculate somebody who is so much smaller.
Yes.
That does not make you look good.
No.
Like, if you have an issue and like you're wondering what he's doing there, you can ask somebody politely, hey, can I help you find something? I don't recognize right. you. But even doing that is just so weird in a public neighborhood.
Right. Like, who cares if there's somebody just walking on the street that you've never seen before? Okay, I'm sorry. They're just walking through. What's the big deal? And Chaps, you're absolutely right. Kate, this guy probably had like, I don't know, 6-7 inches on the guy, clearly weighed a lot more than him. And at one point was kind of like leaning into him, over him. It was just disgusting.
Very much trying to intimidate.
Yes.
Sure.
And the thing that really struck me is this isn't the way you act just out of nowhere. So it lends me to believe that he's treated soldiers like this. And I wonder how many soldiers within his command through boot camp or whatever, he's treated this poorly. And it's
when
just,
they
it's
saw
okay.
this video, how many were like, yep, that seems about right.
Probably
and I think that in a boot camp scenario, I mean, other than the what are you doing, like the racially loaded terms that he used.
Yeah, get rid of the heavy racism.
Yeah, get if you ignore the heavy racism.
If you can look past the extreme
the
racism.
Huge caveat, if you could do yeah. that, having that type of personality and that type of demeanor when you're a drill sergeant or a drill instructor, I have no issue with that. Like being on somebody and intimidating the fuck out of them, I don't have any issue with that in uniform.
But I mean, this is totally different.
Uniform.
This is a totally different, situation. Right. Totally different ball of wax, and that's just disgraceful. And this comes on the heel of news. Did you see the Navy and Marine Corps? This report that came out have been quietly kicking out their worst white supremacists for years now. At least 13 major investigations into white supremacists kicked out with no court martial, no nothing, no just administrative discharges that leave no public record of their hateful activity.
Well, I think that that's kind of hard because it's very difficult to prosecute somebody for their ideology, like for something if they didn't act on it.
Right.
There, it's you can't really prosecute somebody
it's,
because.
Yeah,
you
it's
think
very difficult. Very difficult to prove. I mean, I guess that's a good thing that they're doing that. But I'm curious to know how they're even proving that someone is a white supremacist.
Oh, you don't have to prove a whole lot. If they're within a certain time period, all the commander has to do is failure to adapt. And
some of these that were quietly discharged, the only thing, they almost beat a man to death. They're like, there's crazy evidence. Yeah. And quietly let them go with that. So that's a crazy report coming out too. But
what do you think about that? As opposed to maybe making a spectacle of it and making an example and saying, hey, we're kicking these people out for this reason.
I agree kicking them out in the fucking square.
I actually thought about this whenever that report that we talked about on Tuesday's episode where you have, are you okay, Kate? You getting uncomfortable? Do you need to leave?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Sorry. You just adjusted out. I just want to make sure you're not feeling.
Oh, my nips are out right now. You just can't.
It was like that report that came out where that Army staff sergeant was essentially a serial rapist.
And that was disgusting.
And the general officer gave him a general officer letter of reprimand. And that's the only real punishment he got. I want to see him hauled in front of the House Arms Committee and be like, explain why you decided to do this for credible rape allegations. Why did you decide just to do a letter of reprimand? Because he went on to get promoted from that point. Whenever that happened, he made first sergeant and he was essentially the senior enlisted advisor inside a company.
And he went on to rape other people, including his own daughter. Right. So,
and I think that people in that chain of command, you've got to answer for it. We got to start calling these general level officers, the high level officers, the high level enlisted who are responsible for these shitty decisions, call them in front of people and make them hold account to the decisions that they made.
Right.
That's the only reason why you're in that position as a general officer is because of one, your really your wisdom, I guess, for lack of a better word, your wisdom and your decision making and discernment. Those are the reasons why you're there. And if you lack those things, you lack the ability to be in those positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a lengthy, long process to get into that position that if you don't have the basic judgment to take ownership for someone that crummy within your command, and I don't even care. It doesn't matter. You don't know the guy, maybe. Unacceptable on his point. And the buck has to stop with someone, and it should be what you just said. They should get called to the carpet and have some be told to explain why they allowed that person to continue to represent the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even with the general level of reprimand, he could have included language that would have made if he said, I didn't feel like CID had enough to prosecute and that they wouldn't have been found guilty. Mm-hmm. But there is a preponderance of evidence where I believe that this is what happened. he could have put into his service record book, do not retain. And mm-hmm. Which means at the end of his current contract, it's over. You can't reenlist. He could have put that code inside that general and the general officer recommendation where you do not retain. And that would have been the end of it.
And I think any of us here, like, how do you live with that as that general? How do you live with that on your conscience, knowing that he then went and did the same horrible act to another person? How does that not eat you away from the inside out to where you're
five
okay?
Five other people, including his
five
daughter.
Other people, including his daughter. Clearly, this guy's sick in the head, and he needs to be prosecuted to the full extent and put away forever. He's a terrible person.
He was prosecuted and got 13 years.
Right. So, I mean, it just... there needs to be something different. And I think there's just a lot more of the same happening, specifically in the Army and across the military. And people keep throwing their hands up and saying, I don't know why these things keep happening. Well, this is one of the reasons why, because someone that's in a position of power and in a leadership position isn't held accountable for the actions of another person. So there's a lot of things that have to change here.
And social media, I think, is going to be the catalyst for a lot of change. Because things that you could have swept under the rug, like, oh, no, he's exaggerating, he's doing that. It's just like the Ray Rice situation. Ray mm-hmm. Rice was going to be suspended for a game, maybe two games. Then the video comes out of him actually striking his fiance or his wife in the elevator, and it turns into a season-long suspension where he's kicked out of the NFL. When you can see it and it's on tape, it impacts so much differently. And I think that's what you're seeing now with all kinds of police videos, with what's happening here. I think that social media is going to be the catalyst for change, because you can't hide in the darkness anymore. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a video. Everybody has a social media platform to upload it. And all it takes is one account that's large to retweet it, mm-hmm. and everybody's going to see it.
Yeah. And I hate that it has to come to that. It should be enough that, you know, if you hear about something like this happening, that should be enough. But I do agree with you that really puts it over the top when you can see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Ray Rice being a great example of that.
Yep.
Captain Jonathan Pentland can kick rocks.
Yeah.
Staff Sergeant Captain Pentland,
kick rocks.
Maybe his first name is Captain.
Kick rocks in Leavenworth.
Yeah.
Maybe not Leavenworth. Okay. I don't know. All right.
Leavenworth, big time. Yeah, if you're going to drive to Leavenworth, make sure you do it safely. Our friends at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration want you to have a safe trip wherever you're going. It could be a little frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry or running late, to find yourself on a railroad crossing. Uh-oh, train talk, folks. You're waiting for a train again. And if the signals are going, ding, 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 and the train's not even there yet, ding, 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 you may feel tempted to try and sneak across those tracks. Well, don't ever do it. To the naked eye, trains appear farther away and moving slower than they actually are, and they can't stop quickly. Even if an engineer hits the emergency brakes right away, it could take a train over a mile to stop. By that time, it's too late, and the result is potentially a deadly crash. The point is, you can't know exactly how quickly the train will arrive. The train can't stop quickly. Even if it sees you, it can end in disaster. If the signals are on, the train's on its way, and you need to remember one thing. Trains, they can't fucking stop.
Mm-mm.
Let's move on to round number five. Well, we're going to have a little bit better talk than we did in the last one. Well, we're going to talk about the Macarena. I had no idea this news.
I'm interrupting you because in the rounds, in the round number one, two, three, four, five at the top, the way you spelled Macarena is appalling. You spelled it Macarena.
Yeah.
Macarna. The Macarena. It's basically, and it really, I had to get that out.
I didn't know we were doing spell shaming.
I'm
spell shaming you.
It's okay. We know chaps don't spell so good.
Yeah, I don't spell. Thomas Jefferson says it takes a simple man indeed to only spell one word one way.
Yeah.
The old Macarena. Remember when the Macarena was a big hit?
Mm-hmm. Kate, why don't you go ahead and, because we can't play it, why don't you go ahead and sing the Macarena so people know, just in case they're a younger generation, they don't know the hit song.
Okay, one marca, two marca, three Macarena, four marca, five, six Macarena, seven marca, eight marca, nine Macarena. Hey, Macarena.
I think the Macarena is the first legit song I ever learned the actual dance to.
Oh, yeah. I remember that summer down the shore on the patio with all my cousins doing the Macarena. Oh, yeah. for sure.
Yeah, I think it was the electric slide for me, but the Macarena was soon thereafter.
Yeah, that's a very popular song, but because like most things, I didn't know what it meant. I mean, there's been times in my life where I listen to songs and then somebody will tell me what it means and I'm like, holy shit, I had no idea. Like there is this song by Justin Nizuka that was called Save Him, and he sings it so beautifully. And I told Annalise it should be our song. It's a song about domestic battery. I had no idea.
Not great. Not great.
And she was like, no, I don't think that actually should be our song.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
Speaking of, Alex and I, we don't have a song. I don't know what we're going to do.
Not yet.
And now that you don't have one, you can't force it either. It's got to happen naturally.
Right.
Exactly. So better happen soon.
Have you considered the Marcarna?
Mine and Annalise's song is I Want to Check You for Ticks by Brad Paisley.
Yeah, that's a good song. Why was that your song?
Check you for ticks.
Because you guys were checking each other for ticks sometime. Because
we're just country as fuck and from the panhandle of Florida. It just fits.
Pat didn't believe that song was real. And he thought I was like joking, like making up a joke about country hillbilly music. And I was like, no, listen to this. And he's like, my God, like what a terrible.
I love that song. That song's fantastic. But the Macarena, sometimes it's best not to judge a book by its cover. That's what's going on TikTok right now, because this one dude, he released this video. Here's the audio.
Tell me a song that you listened to when you were younger and you grew up and realized it's really dirty. Yes, I'm stitching my own video. Sue me. But you're never going to believe this. So you know the Macarena, the song that goes dun da da dun da da dun Macarena, eh Macarena, da-da-da, something like that. Anyway, that was at every single one of my school discos at about 10 years old. And it's about a woman whose boyfriend is about to join the army. And she, when he's away, has a threesome with his two best mates. No joke. Google it. What the fuck?
So I didn't believe him, like, because he doesn't play it. He doesn't put the lyrics on there. He just talks about how it's about that. I looked it up. I had no idea. Here's the actual lyrics that is translated from Spanish. Give your body joy, Macarena, because your body is meant to give joy and good things. Give your body joy, Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Macarena has a boyfriend who's named with the name Vitriono. And while he was being sworn in as a conscript, she's giving it to two friends. So he's getting drafted. He's going into the military and she's giving up that cooch to two friends. Two.
That's not one lover.
Two.
That's not nice.
Well, he was out of town and his two friends were so fine. That's the song, remember?
I know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And I had no, like, that song, you put that song in English, I don't think people grab hold of it as much. I don't think people like that.
No,
I think if that song comes out in English and it's like, I'm banging your two friends while you're going in the military, people are like, oh, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. No, you're not.
Terrible.
Some people are saying, oh, no, you're not. But if you're a Jody, that could be how your toes starts tapping a little bit. Like,
it's like that one woman who brought her boyfriend to boot camp, and then she went on to star in one of the very famous Girls Do Porn.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one.
Yeah, so there's one woman who had like one of the most views Girls Do Porn videos, and she wore it's like the same exact outfit that she wore to the porn thing. Pops up on social media a lot.
Which, honey, you do you. But you know he was getting roasted.
Maybe she got hired by the Air Force.
Ah, maybe.
To give out blowjobs.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into safe rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. First, what do you guys think of the new PT uniforms prescribed for the Marine Corps?
Everyone looks good in silkies. Everyone, any body type.
Big time disagree.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the other side of that.
Because I have very skinny legs. Mm. I hated wearing silkies because my legs were always out there. I was always pretty in shape, but my legs have always been small. No matter what I did, I've done the squat every day program. I've done all kinds of shit. My legs just will not grow.
The new Marine PT, the shorts are even bigger, so your legs look even smaller. Like, that's terrible.
Like a bell hanging out inside.
It's like a little dingle thing hanging out of a giant bell. Yeah, these new ones are terrible. And if you're dragging a wagon, if you got a thick ass, you're going to look like an idiot in these shorts. They look
horrible.
Yeah,
those definitely are ass-eater shorts where they're going to just be straight up somebody's butt cheeks, like that one woman that was wearing the KFC jumpsuit.
Exactly. Yeah,
just, I don't get, like, what there's this propensity to have to, they have to be ugly. Just look around the current landscape of the world. There's athleisure and athletic wear these days has never been more popular. You know, just bite off somebody's idea that's already out there. It doesn't have to be ugly. And that green color is just putrid.
Also, I love that green color. The shorts come up to your tits. The shorts come up like old people pants. Like, it looks so stupid. It looks bad.
The USMC looks like it should be on like a Walmart t-shirt.
Yes.
Like, go up. I don't understand why the military can't get sponsored by somebody or have a deal with like Jumpman or with Under Armour and just have them design it. And that's what you wear.
Well, not Under because Armour, there's though. No shot that any of those would be the lowest bidder. So that's why
we probably end up with like Saucony or Asics.
Yeah. But those are good running companies too.
Yeah. They,
they make good running clothes.
I'll never run.
Hopefully they figure it out. And then lastly, I put out a question because the other night I was watching Shooter with Mark Wahlberg and I said, who would you want to be your battle buddy? Bob Lee Swagger, Dutch from Predator, or John Rambo? John Rambo won, but man, if Bob Lee Swagger, he was making these intricate bombs and all sorts of craziness from supplies at Walmart.
Killing somebody from that distance with a .22 with a water bottle on the end is pretty damn impressive.
I mean, Bob Lee Swagger is something else. So I just put that out there. Who would you guys want between Bob Lee Swagger, Rambo, and Dutch?
I definitely want Swagger.
Yeah.
It just seems the most normal conversationally.
Right.
I want Weird Al Yankovic as Rambo, as seen in the movie UHF.
Okay. That's also a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I want that Rambo. Rambo's the best.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Sweaty, but
that's all I got.
All right, Kate.
Will do. Nothing. My nipples hurt a lot.
Thank you for that.
That's it. Friendly reminder, I have a lot of pubes right now.
Manscaped, promo code ZBT.
Right, ZBT. Going to need that mower.
Kyle.
Well, it's sad. I don't want to go. I've been doing stuff with the show since, really, I mean, it's been 2 years. April 23rd is when Chaps slid into my DMs and asked if I would do the social for Zero Blog 30. And at the time,
and that was after you started a parody site for the code.
Right. I started a parody account called Da Code, and that was a lot of fun. And it took off a little bit, but then the show just fell apart even further. When Chaps reached out, I wasn't in a great spot. I was working a terrible job. I got out of the Marine Corps. It took me like 6 months to find any work. And I took the first job that came up. It paid really well, but I hated my life. I don't think I'd ever been that low. And working with Zero Block 30 really, it was fun. It was a good escape. It helped me feel connected back to the veteran community and felt like I was doing something good for people, if not just entertaining them with, you know, stupid captions on videos.
Don't go fuck themselves.
Sometimes people, you know, if you haven't been told to go fuck yourself in a while, it can actually be kind of nice.
Yeah, it's like the palate cleanser for veterans.
It really
like
is.
Their own little Bernie
nice
Higgins.
Sorbet.
Just told you're a piece of shit every now and then.
Yeah, or like nobody cares about you because that's also something that's refreshing. You say a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been great. I didn't want to really leave, but I was given an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And it sucks. I loved working with all of you guys. I consider you all my friends more so than just, you know, we have the veteran thing and all that, but, I grew kind of close as I grow to people nowadays. Yeah, I mean, it's shitty. I want to say thank you to all of you for being patient. I know, you know, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really know what the hell I was doing, and I kind of still don't. I had never done any video or audio editing. I'm sure people can tell if they listened.
I couldn't tell. This is news to me. I thought you were great the whole time.
The only one is whatever you did a couple episodes gave me in Khan's list. That was real.
Yeah, that was me.
I don't know what the fuck happened there. I swear to God.
People were like, was this on purpose? Were you guys trolling? I was like, dude, if you think I could keep up an hour long troll, you're giving me way too much credit. Me and Kate tried to do a Valentine's episode where we were in character the entire time. Impossible.
I think it's crazy to hear you saying, like, thanks for having me do this stuff, blah, blah. Thank you, Kyle, for, I mean, I'm like, what are we going to do without you? You just have been such an integral part
Come up.
You just absolutely nailed the personality of ZBT and all the interactions you had with everybody and the jokes that you made on the social. I mean, just, you nailed everything and you just did such an amazing job the whole time. And I'm just so grateful that we had this opportunity to have you with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll expound on one point Kate just made. You had a certain je ne sais quoi that you can't teach. You just had it. And it's shown through on our social with the jokes and the barbs and the way we reacted with the listeners. And that was so valuable. And then the other thing I'll say, so often in history, you look back on who's been a huge figure in military history. And, you know, there's certainly been some great enlisted folks that get talked about a lot, but a lot of times you see these officers, these generals and high ranking individuals that get talked about a lot. And what's not mentioned is that I would bet dollars to donuts. I know this for a fact, having never even met all these people, that behind them were tremendous, tremendous NCOs that supported them. And although I'm the only officer here, but I think that was really the best way I could describe what you did for us. You didn't come to us and say like, hey, I want to be, you know, your other co-host. You were awesome. You did the behind the scenes stuff. You propped us up and you did so much work that people will never know about that we definitely appreciate. And if we didn't say it enough, we did appreciate you, and you will truly, truly be missed because of the level to which you were able to take our show. And without you, it wouldn't have been able to get to those levels. And you were just so valuable. And I think you just epitomize everything a good NCO stands for. And I think you should be very proud of that.
Well, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yep. I agree. I echo everything that they said. And also I want to say the biggest compliment that I would give Marines if I was doing like a personnel evaluation is that they know commander's intent and they predict it and they act on it without any supervision. That's exactly what Kyle has done since day one in ZBT. He's predicted what I would want, what the group would want on social media, and does that extremely well. Your next employer is gaining somebody who is going to grow their brand a shit ton. I'm going to miss you talking to you every day, but that's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. We'll improvise, adapt, and overcome. Kyle won't be here Tuesday. Go ahead, Kyle.
I want to say really thanks to all the listeners. I mean, it sounds cliche, but interacting with you guys, it was therapeutic to myself. I know everyone on the show. I mean, we have such an awesome group of listeners and even, you know, people on social media. I really feel like, I mean, veterans have a pretty bad rap most of the time, especially on social media. And it's kind of been like, I won't say mission, but I've really worked hard just to dispel a lot of those myths. Mm-hmm. And because people don't realize when you're a fucking dickhead online and the first thing you say is veteran in your profile, that paints everyone. Everyone gets painted with a broad brush and we suffer for it. I mean, I didn't get a job at a place because he didn't want to hire a veteran. And he said this, and I made a USERRA claim against him because, you know, the veterans are this and that. So if you're a fucking asshole, you're not hurting just yourself. You're hurting this entire community. And so when we complain about the veteran unemployment and veteran mental health, if you're just being a dickhead, it's your fucking fault. Mm-hmm. But our listeners and our people on social media and our friends out there, we don't have that problem with them. And slowly but surely, it's improving. And I got to thank all of you for that. So that's what made this. I mean, it never really felt like a burden. I looked forward every day to opening up the social media and seeing what everyone was doing. So I'm going to really miss that. It's going to be a tough adjustment. But yeah, thanks to everyone. Thanks to you guys. And I'll still be around.
I was going to say, still be popping on from time. Whenever we need to tell someone to shut the fuck up, we'll have you back on and we'll have you be the one to,
Lastly, one more announcement for the ZBT. We are going to move to one episode a week for a while, at least until Kate comes back full time. And the episodes are going to start dropping on Thursday. That's what's going to go down while we work in a new producer who will be here, I guess, next week. We'll see, because I sure as fuck don't know how to edit myself.
Me neither. Shoot. Chaps, so. I got to tell you, as the two longstanding folks as part of this show, we probably should have learned that stuff by now.
No, I'll never learn. Because if you learn, then somebody's going to make you do it. No, right. I don't want to do that. I'm not volunteering to do that shit.
Mm-mm. Fair.
That's it. All right. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Kate, great to have you back.
Yeah. It was great. Thanks for everything, Kyle. You're the best.
We miss you, Kyle. Kate. And then Kyle, we love you, buddy. You'll always be part of CBT.
I love you guys too. So thanks again.
Sound the retreat.